I'd like to read, first of all, in 1 Corinthians and chapter 16 and verse 9. For a great door is opened to me, and an effectual one, and the adversaries many. And then in John's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 7. Jesus therefore said again to them, Verily, verily, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers. The sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enter in by me, he shall be saved. He shall go in, and shall go out, and shall find pasture. The thief comes not, but that he may steal and kill and destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and might have it abundantly. And then in Genesis, chapter 7, and verse 15. And they went to Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, in which was the breath of life. And they that came male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and Jehovah shut him in. And then finally in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in unto him and sup with him and he with me. And then thinking about doors, all these scriptures speak about doors. It's a wonderful thing to see the door open tonight. Open. It's an invitation tonight, and the door is open. The door is open for us all. Now, why have I been thinking about doors? Well, in our house, we converted the attic, but some of you will know that the regulations say that if you're in the top floor of a house, the doors have to be fireproofed. They have to be keep you secure. So to think about replacing all the doors in the house or painting them with special paint. When we think about doors, the Bible speaks a lot about doors. Over 260 references to doors in the scripture. Sometimes they're used in a literal sense, sometimes they're used as a way of conveying a thought, God's thoughts in relation to us. The Apostle Paul here, he spoke about a door. He speaks twice about the door being opened. And the door was open that the gospel might come out. Might come through Turkey, Asia Minor as it then was. And then through Philippi, it came into Europe. And down to our day where it's come to ourselves. Wonderful thing that the door has been opened. The door has been opened. It's not been closed yet. One day it will close. But the door's been opened. I was reading about the amazing door that's been opened in China. In 1949, I read that there were perhaps 1 million Christians in China. Today, the number's thought to exceed 100 million, and it'll soon be the most populous Christian country in the world, is what the writer said. Well, who knows? The Lord knows, Hosea Hicks. The question for us tonight is not about China or Britain, it's about me and my relationship with God. And God wants us to be in a relationship with himself. Right from the beginning, when he came walking in the cool of the day, seeking the company of Adam. And Adam hid himself. And the way to come into a relationship with God is through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the message that the Apostle Paul took out. Took out this message. Doors open. The door is open tonight. It's open for the people of Sydenham. Come in and hear the gospel. Wonderful good news. Easter Sunday isn't just a day for having a holiday and being off work and doing the garden and going off to the DIY store. The wonderful message today, the message goes out because Jesus is alive. He's in heaven and he's waiting and he's coming soon. And it's a wonderful moment. We're going to see him. We'll hear his voice and we're going to see him. And we're going to be like him. Wonderful miracle of God's grace that we should be like his Son. How far we're from that today. But that's what God has promised. Well, the door is open. You don't literally have to come through the door. Yesterday, Sam said to me, Dad, what are you preaching about tomorrow? I said, well, I was thinking about preaching about doors. Well, what are you going to speak about doors? I said, well, you know, the door is open, Paul said. He said to me, but there were those that came to the Lord Jesus and they were lifted through the roof. They didn't come through the door. You know, it doesn't matter how you come into blessing. It's a wonderful thing to read about those in the Bible who so long to see the Lord Jesus, and so they long to bring other people into the presence of Jesus. They would do anything. I challenge myself how much I desire the people that live around me and my colleagues at work, how much I desire their blessing. I'm prepared to break through the roof, as it were, do something extraordinary that they might come into blessing. We heard a week or two ago about Zacchaeus going up the tree because he so longed to see Jesus. He wasn't ashamed of climbing up that tree so he could see him because he was small. Well, it doesn't matter in a way how you come into it. My longing is that you might come into blessing, that you might be secure for eternity, but you might be happy now. God wants you to be happy now. Bright in his praise. Read this afternoon about shining out, light shining out in a dark day. Light shining forth, we should be like salt, we should be a preservative. And what's decaying around us? Challenge for us is, do we know the Saviour? If we know the Saviour, is it a long time ago or is it present? Have you spoken to him today? Have you rejoiced at being in his company? My children complained to me on the way here. We came through the top of Brixton Hill and I said, what does it say on that church? And they said, Dad, you always say this. And there's a church at the top of Brixton Hill, and in gold lettering it says, the quote from the authorised, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Do you rejoice when you think about going into the presence of the Saviour? Do you rejoice to glorify his name and to sing his praise? Does it make you happy to think that one day he's going to come and he's going to call you? He's going to call you from the glory and you go to be with him. Do those thoughts fill your heart with joy? Well, the gospel is that the good news is that we should be brought into that blessing. That we should know that. And that's what filled the Apostle Paul's life. He first of all longed that the Jews, the people that he came from, should come into the blessing. And then God spoke to him and he reached out beyond to the Gentiles. And so to us. Gospel's come to us. The wonderful grace, the gospel's come to us. Sometimes at the cost of people's lives, the gospel has been brought to us. And the door, this great door is open. It's open in Sydenham tonight. The door is open. The gospel is open. Message is going out. Don't despise God's grace. God has given us a window. Now, today is a well-accepted time. When I was growing up in this meeting here, I used to go to the prayer meeting week after week after week. And brothers, without fail, would pray for those behind the iron curtain. They would pray for those who were in prison in communist Europe. Didn't have the freedom to meet together. Didn't have the freedom to meet the gospel. Couldn't carry a Bible around freely. I thought about this. I was in someone's house, up in Scotland, sister's house, for supper, a few months ago. And in the glass cabinet I was looking at, she got a little piece of the Berlin Wall. Something I never thought, that all of that would crumble. All those prayers for many years, that God might open the door. God did open the door. God has opened the door. The gospel has gone forth. I was thinking about where I come from, the meeting I come from. Brothers constantly pray, often pray, for North Korea. I was reading yesterday, who's taking the gospel into North Korea? Is it English Christians? Is it American Christians? No, it's Chinese Christians. Amazing way that God works. The door has been opened. The blessing is there. Tim Rotter said, showers of blessing we pray. Now you come into that. The door is open. I fear that the door is closing. It feels like it's closing in the country in which we live. It feels, a lot of adversaries, Paul says, the adversaries many. People that are immoral, people that attack family life and all of those things. The adversaries are many. This country's been very blessed. That freedom of the gospel, Tyndale, many wanted to put the Bible in English, not in Latin, not in a language no one could understand, put it in the palm of everyone's hand. Gospel was brought into our hands, and the Bible at great cost. Because people loved the Lord Jesus, and they wanted other people to be blessed. Believers, we all need to pray that the light and the door might stay open in our own country, might be able to preach the gospel freely. Well, the door is open, and it's an effectual one. There are those who are answering to the call of the glad tidings. And it's a wonderful thing when you meet a newly converted Christian. You see the joy that fills their heart and you realise the same power is available to now as when at Pentecost, all those years before. He remained in Ephesus until Pentecost, but the great door is open. Take advantage of the door being open. We don't know when the door will close. I said to Sam a few Saturdays ago, I was woken up, a phone call at 8 a.m, and someone called me up and said, from work, and said, I just wanted to know, the plane's gone missing. And we got the last signal from it at 1:10 a.m. Because we monitor those things. The company looked after the time, we monitored those signals. Those people are lost. No one knows where they are. Only God knows what happened to them. We don't know. Do not trust in machines or people or humanity or the wisdom of governments or science. Don't trust in those things. People commit themselves to science and expertise and philosophy. There is only one place of safety that I know, and that is in trusting in the precious blood of Jesus and the work of the Lord Jesus and committing your life and your future into his hand. Well, in John's Gospel, you don't speak about doors at all. You have to speak about the one who is the door. In John's Gospel, there are 7 I ams, as I'm sure we all know. This is one of the great I ams. I'm the door. The way into God's blessing, there is only one way. I guarantee that if I walked down Sydenham High Street, I would hear a lot of different ways, a lot of different ideas. I can assure you, there is only one way. Peter said, and salvation is in none other. None other. There's one way. I am the door. Lord Jesus, if we want to enter into this pasture, enter into God's house, into God's blessing, it is only by one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. One way. Many ways offered tonight, but only one way. Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, I wonder about people celebrating Easter. I wonder what they're actually thinking about. Giving each other presents of chocolate and all this sort of thing. What are they thinking about? Are they thinking about the person of Jesus, the person that came here, God's Son, God manifest in flesh, Emmanuel, person that laid down his life and actually went and lay in death. And rose again, praise be his name. The message is a message of life and resurrection, but it's in a person. Not in an idea, not in a set of teachings, not in looking at someone else's life and seeing how close you can get to it, but trusting in a work that is complete. I am the door. No other door, another way of getting in. You can't climb in from the side, the Lord says so. I am the door. It will come before me as thieves and robbers. And he goes on to speak about those who may steal and kill and destroy. You think of the Lord Jesus. You think of who the crowd wanted. The crowd wanted Barabbas. Barabbas was someone who took. He was someone that was wanted for murder. Someone who took life. And he was set free. And the originator of life, the person that gave life to us all, was taken. And his life was taken away. The Lord Jesus came that we might have life and might have it abundantly. It's a question in the gospel. Do you feel full of life? There's a church that I drive past on the way to the meeting in Worley. It's called the Abundant Life Church. And I look at the people going in there and I have a look at them and I think, well, I wonder about that. Abundant, have life abundantly. For certain, when we're in the presence of the Saviour, we won't have sin or failure or any of those drags on us, weights and sin that so easily entangle us, but have life abundantly. Challenging the gospel. Might have known the Lord many years. Do I have life and have it abundantly? Because it's available. It's available. It's available from the source of life, the Lord Jesus. Gave life to all things. I love the scripture in Hebrews. It says, by whom also he made the worlds. Had some dark nights recently. Went out in the back garden. And we're a little bit away from the city. And we can look up at the, and you can see wonderful stars. You think of him giving names to them all. How great his work. How great he is. And yet we can know him as our personal saviour. Gospel is wonderful. I am the door. Only reason I referred to Genesis because they went in. We know about the ark. We know that they went in, no doubt, very familiar with it. But this is one of the most beautiful parts of the story and the history. It's not a story, it's a history of what happened when God judged the earth by flood. They went in as God commanded. They did what God asked. Noah did what God asked. He was obedient. Question for all of us. Are we doing what God has asked? God has asked us to come to his Son, asked us to repent. Peter said in his preaching, repent and be converted. Not just saying you're sorry, but a change in outlook and a change in the way you live your life. Well, these listen to what God said. Noah, despite people no doubt jeering at him and laughing at him, he did what God said. A huge work to build the ark. He did that work. He influenced his own family. His family came into the blessing and security of the ark. 8 souls. I don't suppose there's anyone here that doesn't desire earnestly before the Lord that their whole family should be blessed. And Noah's family was blessed. God honoured him for his faith and for his obedience. And they went in. And the Bible says that Jehovah shut him in. Dear friend, if you've come to the Lord Jesus, you are safe. You are secure. And there is no question about it. There may be a question in your mind, but there's no question in God's sight. Noah didn't draw the door closed. God shut him in. God saw that he was safe. And God saw that he didn't see the judgment. The windows of the ark, you know, open to heaven. He didn't see the judgment. He didn't see the people drowning or the creatures drowning. He didn't see any of that. And none of us have seen the sufferings of Jesus on the cross. There was darkness for 3 hours. And the Lord Jesus suffered, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He suffered there. Hymn writer said, the darkness sought his woes to hide. His work is done. No one saw how much the Lord suffered when he suffered for sin and for sins. He suffered for us, for our folly. Mr. Deck said in his hymn, for our folly stricken, all our burden laid on him. Lord Jesus suffered for me, for what I've done, for what I thought. Lord Jesus has suffered for you. It's a wonderful privilege as a Christian to return to him and to thank him for what he's done. Think of the Lord saw those 10 leprous men, you know, that were healed. And 9 of them just sort of scurried off back to doing their life. You know, good, I'm healed, I can get on with my life, I'm no longer an outcast. And 1 person turned around and thanked God. If you've been blessed, it's a wonderful privilege to be able to thank the Saviour for what he's done and glorify his name. Well, it says, and Jehovah shut him in. Sometimes as Christians, we might have doubts, might have fears, might have uncertainties. I think Satan raises all kinds of questions in our mind. Are we worthy of being saved? Is Jesus alive? Is he coming? Am I going to hear him? Is he going to take everyone else? I'll be left behind. Jehovah shut him in. The door was shut. He was absolutely safe. I read somewhere some years ago, someone saying to a preacher, you know, sometimes I don't feel very safe. I don't feel saved. The preacher said to the person, you know, when Noah was in the ark, did his safety depend on his feelings or the fact that he was inside the ark? Your salvation doesn't depend on how you feel. It depends on the precious blood of Jesus. God looks at it. God is satisfied. It's a wonderful hymn in his book, 410. It says, God is satisfied with Jesus. We are satisfied as well. If you haven't got settled peace, get into the presence of the Lord and ask the Lord to give you peace. Because he gives his peace, not as the world gives it, he gives his peace that we might be completely settled, we might be completely sure that God's love is upon us, that we have a place in his house, that we haven't got some little secondary place. There is nothing second best in God's thoughts, only the best for everyone. Robe of righteousness, how wonderful that is. And Jehovah shut him in. You're safe, dear friend. There is nothing safer than being in the hands of the Lord Jesus. He says, no one shall pluck them, authorised says, out of my hand. This translation says, seize them. It's the same thought. No one take them out of his hand. Well, in Revelation, just to finish, the scripture is very familiar. There's a painter in the 19th century, Victorian painter called Holman Hunt. And he painted his impression about this. And then later on in his life, he painted it again, but much bigger. And that's what you'll see in St. Paul's Cathedral. It's sort of hanging on the wall in there. And the way he sort of conveyed it was, painted a picture of how he imagined the Lord Jesus to be. He had a crown of thorns and a crown of glory, a lamp in his hand, and knocking on a door with no handle on the outside. Handles on the inside, and weeds all growing round the door. Well, that was his imagination about how things. It's interesting, his impression. No handle on the outside. This is a question of responsibility. I stand at the door and I'm knocking. Now, the context of this was an assembly, a church, a company of Christians that were very complacent. Everything was just fine. I have need of nothing. To a brother in the meeting I come from, said there was no need for a prayer meeting in Laodicea. They were all very, quite happy. Everything was fine. But he said, they were naked. And they needed eye salve to anoint thine eyes. The history of Laodicea is that they were proud of their medical things. They had a stream of water that came, ferried water to them. There's a background, a context to everything that's said here, but there's an application to it. Challenge for us as believers is not to be lukewarm, not to be neither hot nor cold, but to be like those on the way to Emmaus whose heart burned within them. They heard the gracious voice of the Lord Jesus to settle them about all that he'd done, and their heart burned within them when they heard his words. Behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. You know, the church in Laodicea had nothing to worry about. Every other church assembly in the scripture, you'll find there was a problem. Even when they were given wonderful truth, Colossians, those in Colossae, those in Ephesus, there were problems. Laodicea, going on quite well, and the Lord Jesus wasn't even there. He was on the outside. A challenge in our day, the Lord Jesus should be at the centre of our life and at the centre of our Christian company. A challenge for me, do I carry on? Everything seems all right. The Lord is just left on the outside of my life. And like Holman Hunt's image, his weeds growing over the door. It's a long time since I ever communed with him, whether I prayed with him, I opened the door ajar so I could be in his company. But he says, it's an appeal. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. The promises of Jesus are real. You can rely on them, utterly. So this word here ends with this appeal. If anyone hear my voice. You know, the Bible ends it with an appeal. The end of Revelation, it's a wonderful thing to say. It says, and let him that is athirst come. After all the terrible judgments of Revelation, the Bible ends with an appeal. And the gospel is an appeal. Gospel is an appeal. If anyone hear my voice and open the door. Lord Jesus isn't asking for your intellect, asking for your heart, your affection, your love. Work on the cross is to bring out our affections for him, our love for him, our desire to serve him, our desire to have his company and to be in his presence. Gospel's wonderful. The door is open. Gospel is going out tonight. Thanks be to God, it goes out tonight. But this different aspect of the door is about us letting him in to our life. May you let him in. Open the door wide. Hymn writer said, swing your heart's door widely open. Let him enter while he may. Time is now. May you come into the blessing of knowing the Lord Jesus' company every day in your life for what time is left to us, for his name's sake.
Amen. Amen.